morning, everybody. No, not good enough. Good morning, everybody. We're not angry. We're joyful. It's fine. It's good. It's nice to see you all. For those that don't know me, my name's Kev White. It's a real privilege for me to be here and share something of what God's laid on my heart to say this morning. For those that are regularly here, when I speak, you'll know that you sit there, I sit here. In about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, I get up and hopefully we've figured out something new about Jesus and it'll be brilliant. Okay, so that's where we're heading this morning, and we're talking about the issue of what Jesus said and did in and around the subject of anger. Now, I was really tempted this morning to sort of stand here and say, right, here's my preach on anger. Jesus says, don't get angry, and then sit back down again and see who got angry. That's what they got from church this morning. But it's a bit more complicated than that, so I won't actually do that this morning. I might do it this evening if you come to the evening church. We'll see. Who knows? But the issue of anger is big and important because if you look at in our society, somehow through media and various expressions, our society shows a great deal of anger in its entertainment, in its political structures, all sorts of things. We've recently been having the World Cup, the finals this evening. Once again, England didn't make it there, so we're all angry about that, possibly. But the thing is, you see, you spend like 4 weeks watching professional footballers, and what do? They dive all over the place to try and cheat their way into things, and that makes people angry with the ref when he makes decisions. And people just get angry to the point where one guy goes and bites another guy because he got angry. It's madness. But that's what the society is being shown these days. You look on the telly and you look at EastEnders, full of storylines about revenge and bitterness and confrontation and anger and rah. That's what EastEnders does to me. I don't watch it because that's all I ever see when it's on, so I don't bother. You get reality TV that's purely there for conflict's sake. That's what reality TV is there for. It's about conflict. It's about putting combustible elements together and letting them go. And that provides entertainment for millions of people watching it. This is what our society shows. And then on a slightly more local note, you get a guy recently who admitted that he killed his 5-week-old baby because the baby was crying and it interrupted his computer game. That's the reality. A guy from East Sussex, he killed his baby because his baby interrupted his computer gaming. Our society has huge amounts of anger and frustration and bitterness and resentment in it. And that's what we talk about this morning. The great thing is the Bible has some stuff to say on it. And I've discovered that basically there are 4 types of anger that we're going to look at briefly. And the first one is sudden anger. Sudden anger. And it's this thing like you get cut up on the street when you're in your car and you go into road rage. And all of a sudden you're shouting and screaming at somebody that's 50 meters down the road and can't hear you, but you're so angry about it. Or your kid does something and you're trying to do something else, and before you realize it, you've had a go at them, and it's a snap. And then you sit there and you think, ooh, wonder where that came from. Sudden anger. It's there for quite a lot of us. And the problem with it is it kind of, the short fuse creates foolish things. We say things and we do things that later on we regret because it's a snap thing. Sudden anger. We then get this thing of stubborn anger. I don't know how many couples out there have, you know, gone to bed angry with each other and created no man's land down the middle of the bed and wouldn't dare touch each other because the other one might get cross. And then you wake up the following morning and you can still remember what you've been angry and cross and arguing about for the last 3 days or whatever it might be. And so you then have a stroppy breakfast together before you coldly say goodbye to each other. And you leave the house and you go off to work and you think, ha, that showed them. Why? What's all that about? It's madness. But we all do it. We all have those moments of anger, stubborn anger. It's madness. But we hold on to stuff. And we keep it. And we bottle it. And then we spend our time making the other one feel bad about it. Stubborn anger. Then there's sinful anger. This is kind of an interesting one. Sinful anger. I've got five questions you can ask about any projection you have of anger to decipher whether your anger is a sinful anger. Number one, are you angry towards someone? That's the first question. Second, is your anger without a justifiable cause? Third, is it anger that seeks revenge or vengeance? Number four, is it anger that is cherished, that stubborn anger? I made you feel that. Is it anger that has an unforgiving spirit attached to it? Five questions that you ask yourself. And if you answer yes to any of those, you are experiencing a sinful anger. Let me take you on a bit of a field trip. We're going to go to the most exciting place in the world, the post office queue. Okay? Right, bear with me. We'll get there. Okay, so you have decided on the last day that you can post out stuff internationally for it to get to someone by Christmas, that you need to post something to a relative that's over the other side of the world. But you're also running a little bit late for work. So you're a little bit stressed, but it's fine, you can get through it. So you show up at the post office with your parcel, and you walk in, and there's four people in the queue. You think, okay, I can sort that, that's okay, no problem, we've got the time to do it. And just as you're kind of positioning yourself at the back of the queue, some bloke comes and stands in front of you and says, you don't mind you, I'm in a real big hurry, I'm really sorry, but it's really important. So you, in your Christian way, go, no, of course I don't mind. You carry on, it's fine. And inside you're going, what's all that about? That's mean and rude and, oh. And so your stress levels rise a bit. And then you notice that the first person in the queue, many apologies to any that may be around here, is a slightly aged person, let's say, and is a little bit slow getting to the counter, and then deals with her pension and other bits and pieces that she's got to deal with in this particular circumstance. And then as soon as she's done, proceeds to have a conversation with the post office clerk about her day, or what she did, what she ate last night, or all that kind of stuff. And at the back of the queue, you're going, oh, I'm a bit more angry now. It's a bit more frustrating now. And as you're going further and further towards the counter, the little old lady moves along and goes about her day. And the four kids that are with the single mum in front of you are now running around, screaming at the top of their voice in four separate directions and causing a right kerfuffle. And you're sitting there trying to go, right, oh, that wouldn't happen if they were my children. Oh, that wouldn't really happen. I've always said it. That wouldn't happen if they were my children. And you get a bit more stressed and a bit more angry. And one of them comes and looks at you wrong. And you get a bit more stressed and a bit more angry. And then the next guy goes to the kiosk. And bless him, he's some guy from some foreign land that happens to be here. And he's not really understanding what the clerk at the post office is telling him about the form he's got to fill in and what ID he must have and stuff. And he doesn't understand what's going on. So he spends 10 minutes having a conversation with the post office clerk about what that means and what I need to do, and can you understand it again? And more angry you're getting at the back end of the post office queue. You've got four kids running around kicking your shins as they go past. You've got the little old lady walking behind you, and you're still cross about that. And now you've got this guy at the front of the queue that's taking forever. And don't they all know that you've got stuff to do and you need to get to work? And more angry you get. And there's a guy just in front of a single mum, who's typical hoodie kind of guy, and he's got his headphones on, and his music is blaring out of them, And it introduces everybody in the post office to the latest rock band or whatever that you've never heard of and are not interested in. And more angry you get. How rude is that? How stressed am I feeling? And your blood boils and it's getting more and more. And then he goes through the post office system, and eventually the mum with the four kids, while she's at the kiosk, they're running and picking everything off the shelves, and you're thinking, oh, this really, really wouldn't happen if they were my children. I want to step on the guy's headphones. I want to kick the kids out and tie them to a railing somewhere. And you just get angry. Who relates? Yeah? We all have these moments. We go through this thing of just constant cues, and we're supposed to be British and be great at it, and really we're not, because we just bottle it all up and we get angry. Is your anger directed at a person? Because Jesus never got angry at a person. He got angry with circumstance, and we'll look at that a little bit in a minute. But in the post office, is your anger directed at a person? Has it got a justifiable cause? Whose fault is it you chose the last day of posting to be able to go and post your parcel? Whose fault is it that you might be running slightly late for work? Any of the people in the queue? I don't think so. Was it justifiable? Is your anger looking to seek vengeance, revenge? The bloke with his headphones, I want to stamp on them so I can't hear his music anymore. Do you get that sense of, oh, I want to do something about that? Is your anger cherished? Are you always saying about the single mum with her four kids, wouldn't happen if they were mine? I've always said it time and time again. I encounter these people, my kids would be much better behaved. Do you cherish these things and bring them out and make you feel good about who you are? Is it an unforgiving spirit kind of anger? Do you get to the front of the queue and then tell the person behind the kiosk, it's a bit slow in here this morning. Haven't really been able to get what I need done. I'm going to be late for this. Is it unforgiving spirit type of anger? Let me give you some info about the people in the queue. See, this lady, the little old lady, she lacks mobility now. She basically, her husband died 5 years ago. She lives all on her own. And because she lacks mobility, she doesn't get out the house much. Basically, once a week, she has to go out and pick up her pension. So she's looking for conversation because her family aren't around anymore. And the person she sees most for two minutes is the person behind the counter at the pension. So she talks to them. All of a sudden, our frustration doesn't seem so bad, really, does it? It seems worse, sorry. It seems bad because of who she is. What about the foreign guy? He's only been in our country a couple of weeks. He comes from this war-torn country that he was in danger of being there still. His life would end. So he left and he uprooted, and he's now in a strange land with strange red tape stuff that he has to go through in everything that he wants to achieve and doesn't get anything that's going on around him. What about the young guy with his music? See, he's been so badly abused that he has to put on music to block out the hubbub around him because he can't cope with these kinds of situations. It's the only way he gets through his day, doing the things he needs. Do you still want to step on his headphones? What about the mum? Four kids. She was in a great relationship, and then she had twins, and the dad couldn't cope, so he just disappeared, left on her own. And since then, she's been so vulnerable and beaten up by life and the world that people use her and they abuse her, and then they just kind of toddle off. And now she's got four kids from a couple of different dads, and she doesn't really know how to be a parent because she's got not a lot of great support around her, but she's trying to do the best that she can because she has to. What about the queue jumper, the first guy that we encountered? To be honest, some people are just a bit rude, and that's fine. But the thing is, God loves them anyway, however rude they may be to you. And what about the post office worker? She loves her job, but she's trying to get this balance between moving the queue on and getting people done in their day, but also offering good customer service so they keep coming back and doing the things they need to do and feel connected to the environment that they're in. Three types of anger: sudden, stubborn, sinful. But what does Jesus have to say about these three types of anger that we've looked at? Matthew 5, verse 21 to 22 says, "You're familiar with the command to the ancients, 'Do not murder.' I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. Carelessly call a brother idiot, and you just might find yourself hauled off into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, and you are on the brink of hell fire. The simple moral fact is that words kill." Don't think Jesus could be much clearer, really. If you get angry, it's like you strike someone dead with your words, with your actions. So what do we do if we know deep down in ourselves that we're susceptible to sudden, stubborn, or sinful anger? The Bible says, if you have a sudden temper, then you need to control it. But how do we do that? You say to me, I can't control it. It just kind of happens. My anger just gets the best of me. Have you ever been in an environment where maybe you're having intense moments of fellowship with your husband or wife, and you're shouting and screaming, or you're raising your voice, or you're bringing up old stuff? And then the phone goes, you go, hello. Because you don't bring it to the phone, do you? You can control your anger, but at times we choose not to. We need to recognize that maybe we have a problem with a sudden anger, a sudden temper. As long as we deny it or blame it on heritage, you know, I'm part Irish or whatever it might be, we'll never improve. But then we must confess our problem to God and ask for help. Lord, I lose my temper. I've done it many times. Please help me see what's causing it to happen and then help me overcome it. The Bible teaches that when the Holy Spirit guides our life, that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. But you have to practice it. It just doesn't come. Sudden anger must be controlled. Stubborn anger. Paul said, here is the way to get rid of stubborn anger. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let your anger fester. Deal with it right away. Say sorry for the things you need to. Forgive the things you need to. Move forward in it. Stubborn anger must be conquered. Sinful anger. Ask the five questions. Figure out what it is you're feeling. And if the answer is yes to any of those questions, you're feeling sinful anger. If we feel it, if we know it, we need to repent and turn away from it. Allow God to forgive us as we forgive. And then move forward, being a forgiving, peaceful person, not a judgmental, angry person. Sinful anger must be condemned. It's all great stuff. It's brilliant. We could end here, potentially, and all have learned something a bit about how we deal with it, the fact that we're connected to it. But the thing is, Christ got angry. He did. Many times. John 2, 13 to 17 says, when the Passover feast celebrated each spring by the Jews was about to take place, Jesus traveled up to Jerusalem. He found the temple teeming with people, selling cattle and sheep and doves. The loan sharks were also there in full strength. Jesus put together a whip out of strips of leather and chased them out of the temple, stampeding the sheep and cattle, upending the tables of the loan sharks, spilling coins left and right. He told the dove merchants, get your things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a shopping mall. That's when his disciples remembered the scripture. Zeal for your house consumes me. Excuse me. Jesus got really angry. So why do we as Christians feel that anger is a sin? Anger is not a sin, the physical thing of anger, but it's the motivation behind it. It's the seeking vengeance. It's the holding on to it that's the sin. There is a fourth type of anger. It's called sanctified anger. It might have been called righteous anger, but that doesn't start with an S, so it's not allowed. Sanctified anger. Mark 3, 1-6 says, then he went back in the meeting place where he found a man with a crippled hand. The Pharisees had their eyes on Jesus to see if he would heal him, hoping to catch him in a Sabbath infraction. He said to the man with a crippled hand, stand here where we can see you. Then he spoke to the people. What kind of action suits the Sabbath best? Doing good or doing evil? Helping people or leaving them helpless? No one said a word. He looked them in the eye, one after another, angry now, furious at their hard-nosed religion. He said to the man, hold out your hand. He held it out. It was as good as new. The Pharisees got out there as fast as they could, sputtering about how they would join forces with Herod's followers and ruin Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus never, ever sinned. But he did get angry. He was able to ask the questions of himself that we asked before about sinful anger. And he answered no to them all. It's amazing stuff. What do we do with it? We find our bit in the notes I've got. That's what we find. Okay. Here's the challenge this morning. You could fall in two camps of what we've heard already this morning. You could be sitting here consumed by the fact that you're an angry person, that you know you are, that you've got sudden, stubborn, sinful anger in you, that you want to express it some way to God and get rid of it. And there are mechanisms in which we can help you do that. But there's another way of looking at this. You and I are Christ's church. Are we angry enough? Do we as a church need a bit of an infusion of anger in the things that God gets angry about to be impactful for Him? Do we need to become angry at the corruption in our world? Do we need to become angry at the millions of abortions? Do we need to become angry over the increasing crime or the increase in man killing man? Do we need to be angry over the increase in the rape and abuse of the vulnerable? Do we need to become angry at the abuse of alcohol and drugs in and around us in our society? Do we need to become angry over the lack of people that are still ending their lives having not heard the great news about Christ? Is it time for the church to be a bit more angry? A sanctified, righteous, holy anger for the just causes. So what do we learn? What do we learn? Sudden anger must be controlled. Sinful anger must be condemned. Stubborn anger must be conquered. But anger in and of itself is not a sin. There is a toothless version of Jesus to follow when it comes to anger created by our society. They say you're not supposed to get angry if you're a Christian. You're always supposed to be loving and accepting and not question anything. Toothless. That's not biblical. That's not Jesus. Maybe it's time we got a bit more angry, a sanctified anger. There are all kinds of anger, and if you are wrestling with them yourself, God promises to give you victory over it if you'll claim it and if you'll do the work to put yourself out. So don't be angry. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't allow the devil to have a foothold in who you are. Channel the sanctified, righteous, holy anger so it can begin to accomplish victories for Christ. That's what Christ said about anger. That's what he did to demonstrate anger. Claim your freedom from it, but understand what makes God angry, a sanctified anger. And get angry about those things, but do something about it. And claim a victory for Christ. Amen? Bless you.
Thank you, Kev. That's certainly given each and every one of us a lot to think about. As I said at the beginning, this series of Jesus, the deleted scenes, these unpopular parts of Scripture that we'd sooner not consider, are very, very good for us. That was very searching this morning. And I know that some people have probably been affected by that, challenged by what has been said this morning. I know for sure there is one person, because that is me. I have been affected by that. I'm only too well aware that there are past hurts in my life, going back many, many years, that I've not fully rooted out, and that occasionally it can manifest itself in inappropriate anger. I'm aware of that. And if there's anyone here this morning that would like to pray with me about that, I would love to invite you to do that. And if there's anyone that possibly has gone through that or is going through that right now, we can pray together. We can have empathy about that. I made a notation because This is how important this is, that we can be set free. I was listening to a lady this week, not in this church, and she said, I know through personal experience how damaging it can be to live with bitterness and anger. And this, what I thought was interesting, she said, it's like drinking poison and hoping that it will kill your enemy. And I thought that was very powerful. And therefore, if we feel that maybe we've not rooted out everything in our lives, let us pray about it. In fact, I'm going to pray now on behalf of all of us as we conclude our service, and then we'll sing another song of praise. And as I pray, if you feel that you relate to this, please say amen at the end. Jesus, we thank you for your words. And if there is anything in our lives that is hurtful or that is damaging, whatever that might be, and maybe it's been there for far too long, we pray for your help. Your word says that your anointing can destroy yokes of bondage. And therefore, Jesus, we ask, please, by means of your Spirit, that your anointing will destroy any strongholds in our life, that we can be set free, and that by means of your love, you will give us peace in our minds and peace in our hearts. Jesus, on the basis of your sacrifice, we confess our sins and we know that you forgive them for what has been accomplished on the cross. We pray for your forgiveness and we pray for your healing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.